We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
My minion's on the line.
No, you're his minion.
Oh, damn it.
He's not your minion.
I don't want to be someone's minion. I don't want to put that funny yellow outfit on and mumble. Aaron Boone's on the line. Aaron, Craig, and Evan, of course. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing great. You know, the big comedy show tonight. Evan's going to be on stage for a minute.
I know.
I'm going to send you a video right afterwards so you can give me an immediate response to it, okay?
Absolutely.
The most important, I think, pressing question for the Yankees right now is, it's just a tough question to ask. You make some of these decisions that boggle my mind. Why not Kluby? Why Klub? You always add a Y or an IE to every nickname you got. But with Corey Kluber, you gave him the nickname Klub. Why not Kluby?
Oh, I was going to say, I don't think I call him Kluby. I think I call him Klub.
That's what I'm trying to figure out as to why. Why not Kluby? It makes more sense.
I don't know. He's Klub.
All right, that's all I got for you.
That's all I got.
That's it. Good luck tomorrow. No,
Where is Judgey? Can I call him Judgey?
No.
No, I can't do it. I apologize, Aaron.
AJ.
You're right. Where is Aaron Judge's health in terms of you feeling comfortable playing him in the field tomorrow night in Boston?
Yeah, I'm hopeful I'll have him in the field tomorrow, but, make that call. Obviously, first day off here in a long time, which is nice and I think much needed. But I would expect him to be in the field tomorrow. That said, we'll make that call when we get to the park and see what we're dealing with.
Was it some kind of lingering issue? Did he aggravate something a couple days ago that we were just unaware of that had you DH him twice in a row?
No, it's just been lingering here this last week a little bit on him. So, obviously we've been in a tough stretch, so just decided it was best, especially with this off day, to have him in the DH role the last 2 days.
Kleber Torres, I mean, the stats are obvious. Since you moved him to second base, I think he's hitting .350. He bounced back last night, didn't have the greatest at-bat with guys on base, then ends up getting the game-winning hit. Do you notice a difference in him? Maybe he's more relaxed since the move to second base?
I definitely feel like he's in a better place this last week. I think he started to get really comfortable at second base where, obviously he's played there a lot over the last, few years. But I felt like even after a couple of mishaps in the field initially when he went to second base, I feel like he's played it really well here this last week. Also coinciding with him swinging the bat well. But I felt, I think the biggest thing with swinging the bat is he's kind of done that all year. He just hasn't hit for the power. And, he's had little valleys, but for the most part, he's been fairly consistent at the plate. It just hasn't been the power there. So I haven't worried about him really hitting. I feel like that's going to come, and I feel like he's so important, kind of hitting sort of in the middle of our lineup because he is such a good hitter, and hopefully he can continue to swing the bat like he is, because I feel like there's just going to be a lot of opportunities to drive in big runs for him.
And obviously a byproduct of this is Gio playing a lot of shortstop, DJ playing third base. How do you feel defensively about the left side of your infield with those changes?
Now that DJ's, arms, for that long stretch, I didn't play him at third base at all, and I was playing Odor over there for when DJ hurt his arm, about a month and a half ago. But over the last couple of weeks, feel like that's not an issue now, so I feel comfortable with him over at third. He's actually, you know, over the couple years he's played with us, he's grayed out really well at third, you know, very similar to, you know, his play at second base. So I feel good about that. With Gio, look, wherever he goes, I feel good. He's made a couple mistakes over there, but I also feel like that's, you know, that can happen to him every now and then at third base. So, you know, we might not get the greatest range out there, but I do feel confident that he's going to be steady in handling the routine plays.
I saw something that I was, you know, fascinated with last night, and that was, you know, you take the lead, you know, after the bang-bang play at the plate, okay, a little breathing room, and then Gary Sanchez hits that bomb to dead center. And it was great for him, obviously, that he hit it because, you know, he's a guy that needs to have some big plays just, I think, confidence-wise. But I noticed the dugout, and that spoke volumes to me on a number of levels. One, and please tell me if I'm wrong on this, the guys are aware of the beatdown that this kid has taken. You know, in the press, the fans, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they must love the kid.
I would say yes. I mean, first and foremost, it's a huge game for us, and we're playing
right
for a lot.
But you'd already taken the lead, so it just gave you a bigger cushion for Aroldis coming in the ninth. But you know, the thing, just so that I'm fair, what I criticized you guys about back in April and May, your team with no soul, with no identity, is the exact opposite of what I saw last night.
Look, I feel like I've said this a lot to people. I don't know if they believe me or not or whatever, but Gary, I have so much respect for him as a person, and how, especially this year, how I just feel like he's just matured so much, and how he deals with outside noise and the constant criticism. You know, early in the year, you know, he lost a lot of playing time, and while he certainly wasn't happy about it, he you know what he did about it was worked. He came in, he made some necessary adjustments that he had to make at the plate. He continued to work his tail off, and has, you know, from last winter on through spring training and on through the year defensively. I feel like he's become a smart worker as far as knowing how to work. You know, it's one thing to just, you know, bang your head against the wall and work. But the reality is it's a demanding position of 162 games. I feel like he knows how to navigate his day now. And he's just a really great team guy. Like, he cares about his teammates. It's about winning for him. And I think that absolutely rubs off, comes through to the other guys. And I think across the board in that room, they have a lot of respect for the person.
Honestly, I thought that throw he made to second to Nail Garcia was even better. I mean, that was such a huge part of the game. And that was always such a positive attribute of Gary's career. Like, early in his career, he would throw out 35% of base runners. That was like old school Gary Sanchez, seeing him unleash a throw like that in such a big spot.
Yeah, it was huge. And look, and I think, you know, over the last couple of weeks where, you know, he's had a few plays, you know, that have been costly defensively, I think it was important for him to get in there and have a huge defensive play like that. And if you're, you know, I think the next couple of hitters, there was a couple of tough blocks with two strikes that were important back there. So really good to see him not only be prepared and ready for the situation, but to come in and impact the game on both sides of the ball was awesome.
Do you think he's unfairly treated by the media and fans, Gary?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. And look, I mean, look, he's made mistakes and, you know, plays that, you know, at different times have cost us or whatever. So it's certainly fair to, you know, point out or talk about, you know, the good and bad that happens over the course of the season, offensively, defensively. I mean, that's part of covering a team. And when you're, you know, on the Yankees and there's a lot of interest, like, that's understandable. You know, I think when people talk about lazy or all, like, that could not be further from who the man is.
Why do you, because, like, in New York, it seems like when you come here as a free agent or you're traded here, you're going to be treated harder. But the homegrown guy kind of gets a little bit more love. Gary's a homegrown guy. Gary was unbelievable 5 years ago in 2016. Why do you think he's treated unfairly in your mind then?
Well, because I think he's had growing pains as, as a player, you know, and I think when you come up through the system and you have massive success right out of the gate, you know, you're kind of anointed as this next guy, and people think it's, you know, just going to happen and come easy. And I think when you're talking about the position of catcher, that is on such a different level than really any other position player, with just the things that you have to learn and grow into, and, you know, relationship wise with pitchers and things like that. Like, it's, I think, why you see a lot of catchers sometimes get to the big leagues a little bit later, because there's so many nuanced things that come with learning the position. Now you come up as this big prospect early in your career, you hit all these home runs, you have this massive success, but there's a lot to learn about the art of catching that, you know, you're learning on the biggest stage with the highest of expectations because of your talent and what you've done earlier in your career. So I think it's just part of the evolution of you know, having a very demanding position.
Talking to Aaron Boone, as we always do, day off today. They're on their way to Boston tonight. And, of course, then it's real. It's essentially playoff baseball. You get three against the Red Sox. You get Toronto after that. And then you end it back at the stadium against Tampa. You've used something like 130 different starting lineups, more than any other team in baseball this year. And I wonder, as you sit down with the rest of the coaching staff and the front office for this particular series against Boston, and I'll add Toronto to that as well, do you foresee any type of, hey, this is my lineup for these six games, or should we expect a different lineup every night?
I think it'll be fairly consistent with, you know, I think a lot of that lineup, different lineup, you know, a lot of times it's because one player's out of it or there's one spot. Like, I feel like the essence of our lineup, especially since guys have been healthy and the trade line, has kind of been there. You know, like the seven hole may be different one day, so that makes it a different lineup, you know. You know, depending on, look, who we're facing, right, left, you know, we'll mix and match probably a little bit here and there, but I expect it to be somewhat consistent, you know, depending on, do you have Luke Voit DHing one day and the jumbo package, for example, in the outfield with Judge in center field one day, do we do that? But I would expect Guardy to be in there a lot, and we'll just kind of, depending on who we're facing who's pitching for us, we'll line it up how we think.
It's funny. Yeah. I've referred to Brett Gardner as the coach's son. You know, the kid that plays every game on, because his dad's the coach. But he actually came through over the last month. He, you know, found a hot spot. And up before his 0-for-10 streak, the guy was your most consistent hitter. You've been around this for a long time. And when Brian made the decision to bring Gardner back again this year, no one ever thought he's going to be playing significant time, especially in key games like this. Are you amazed by him? Like, when you think of Brett Gardner, and you're going to put him in the lineup every night against the Red Sox and or Toronto, I just wonder your thoughts on him overall, considering his age, the amount of mileage on his body, and what he's been able to do here over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, well, durability's always, you know, been one of his calling cards, and you know, he's obviously in great condition. You know, he's strong as an ox. You know, takes care of himself. He's tough. You know, so, you know, going back to when we brought him back, I wasn't worried about him, you know, from a durability standpoint being available. You know, it's just like, depending on, you know, what our outfield situation, was he going to be a true fourth outfielder? You know, inevitably people go down, you earn more opportunities and whatever. But I think, you know, I would quibble with you a little and say just the last few weeks or the last month and say it's pretty much been the second half. I mean, his at-bats have really ticked up here in the second half. I think he's probably, you know, in the high 300s from an on-base standpoint in the second half of the season, and it's just been really good at-bats no matter where we've had him in the order. And then you can't discount what he brings defensively. Like when he's in center field, now you got Judge and Gallo out there, turns into a really good outfield, and that's something that's obviously very important.
I think I can ask this without Craig getting offended, without him thinking I'm going to jinx anything. Gerrit Cole is going to start on Friday.
I knew this was coming.
His next start would be scheduled for Wednesday, and then I assume 3 days rest if you need it, right? Is that a fair assumption that if needed, Garrett Cole, 3 days rest, game 162, right?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I hadn't thought about that a little bit. We'll kind of cross that bridge when we get there. It could be on 3 days rest, or it could be, if we're in a position where we have to win that game, we got to win the wild card game too. So you got to win two games anyway. So we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I know Garrett's on board with whatever we want to do, whichever way we want to go.
Right.
And hopefully we're in a position where that last game, going into the wild card game, doesn't mean anything.
Are you, because look, there's rain in the forecast tomorrow, which screws everything up. All right. It really does, especially in the case of Garrett Cole. Would you be comfortable pitching him on 3 days rest, even if it's not a game 162, just because, hey, I got to maximize Garrett Cole. There happened to be a rain out. I think the only time he's ever pitched on 3 days rest was last year during the playoffs, and he was great. He pitched into the sixth inning, only allowed one run. Would you be comfortable doing that prior to 162?
Well, we'll see. I mean, you're talking about, I don't know, that you mean pitching possibly back-to-back times to the end of the year?
Yes. So
you mean rain tomorrow?
Look, it's going to rain tomorrow. I hope they play because I want to see. I want to see good baseball. I don't want to see a seven-inning doubleheader. I don't want to see that garbage. And I'd love to see Garrett Cole pitch as much as possible. It's great baseball.
Yeah.
I know you've thought about it. I mean, obviously it may not get rained out, but would you be comfortable with him pulling a CC? Back-to-back 3 days rest, or you maximize your best pitcher?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Back-to-back 3 days rest. We'll just have to. But again, it all comes down to, you know, what was the game prior? You know, in a lot of ways, what's the day after like? How does he feel from a recovery standpoint? And we'll try and make the best possible call for first and foremost for us, but also making sure that he's in a good spot to go out there and be, you know, close to his best.
Do you personally have a preference, by the way, if there was a rainout, to using an off day as opposed to a seven-inning doubleheader? Do you have a preference on what you or the team would rather see happen in that situation?
It's a good question. You mean if we got rained out?
Yeah.
I haven't even looked if there's, you know, do we both
Monday.
Have off days on that Monday?
Monday, yes.
Yeah. I think I'd probably prefer the Monday off day.
Interesting.
You know, with these games being at this point. But we've been doing this doubleheader thing and the seven inning doubleheader thing now for a couple of seasons, and, you know, feel like we're pretty, adept at it, and whatever baseball decides, we'll have to make the best of.
Last thing for me, Aaron, I don't want to read too much into it, but the way you won last night's game with the rally after the fifth and a couple big hits, you know, Gary and Glaber and all that stuff, was reminiscent of a lot of the games you won during the 13-game win streak. Was there any aspect of last night's game that made you kind of feel, I think we may have just clicked?
I was really pleased to see how well we played in the second half of that game, especially after it started. I just felt like it was a little sluggish. You know, I felt like Klubs. I felt like he actually threw the ball pretty well and was kind of, you know, a little bit unlucky to give up a few runs there where they, you know, kind of dumping some balls around on him. And it was just kind of that sucking the air out of it because we hadn't gotten anything going yet offensively. And they a bloop here that added to the lead. And then I just thought some really good at bats occurred, and Higgy stung another one after, you know, his first AB, that's probably a 3-run homer the night before, but the way the wind was blowing, it knocked that ball. It even knocked down Gary's ball a little bit. Gary killed that ball to center field and it barely got out. But, so Higgy getting a big double there to kind of injected a little bit of life. Okay. We're back in this now. And then I thought we just did some really good things from a bullpen standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, and from just some winning at bats there in some key spots.
With the playoffs essentially beginning tomorrow, with this nine-game stretch against Boston, Toronto, and Tampa, do you do anything different pregame? Like, is there an Aaron Boone, I'm going to rile the troops up, I'm going to pump them up?
You know what he's going to do? He's going to make them watch your stand-up tonight.
That'll work. Do you do anything differently tomorrow?
No. It's tomorrow's kind of business as usual. Look, we've had talks and conversations throughout this over the last couple months, whether it's in a hitter's meeting or, you know, as a group or whatever it is, you know, there's different times. So, you know, I always just kind of, you know, try to not have anything scripted. You know, it's like, we're going to go in tomorrow and prepare. And if things need to be said, so be it. But I don't plan on, you know, getting up and addressing the team, because even though I think it's a good analogy that these are essentially like playoff games now, in a lot of ways, I feel like we've been in that mode for the last couple of months, knowing that we had to kind of dig ourselves out of, and we've had that kind of energy and focus. So we got to, the real fun begins.
Well, listen,
now.
You got
nine games against good teams.
You got what every player and coach that we've ever talked to has ever asked for. Control your own destiny in the final 2 weeks and let it all play out the way it will. But you got that, and that's all you can ask for. So go make the most of it, and let's see some playoffs in a couple of weeks. And we wish you the best of luck. Talk to you next week. I'll send you the video as soon as he's done tonight.
As I get ready, I'll be watching a little bit of stand-up comedy on as I'm going to bed tonight. I will add Evans to the list.
Wow. A lot of pressure.
Immediate reaction, please, so I can use it tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
Be good, buddy. Safe travels as well.
All right, thanks, guys.
Aaron Boone Report brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees.
I feel like his judgment's more important than even your judgment.
He, no joke, and I've talked to him about it in the past, he watches stand-up all the time.
Yeah.
It's like it soothes him or
yeah.
something.
So if I get a victory out of Aaron Boone, that's a victory.
I agree, by the way. Yeah. And he has told me, I don't talk a lot about what I talk about off-air with people in the public light like that. He thinks you're going to do good.
Does he?
Yes, he does.
Boy, I don't know why.
We've had the conversation.
I'm no stand-up comedian.
And he believes that you're going to actually do well
all
today.
Right, we'll see.
Because I've had the conversation.
Well, see, I don't like these expectations. They should be lowered. I'm going to bomb, Craig.
Great. I hope you bomb. We're all rooting for you to bomb, by the way, in the nicest possible way.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Now, did you I'm excited. Did you figure out now why that rainout is so damaging, especially based on Aaron's answers?
Oh, because the Yankees have no bullpen.
No, had nothing to do
Neither
with
Neither did the Red Sox, by the way.
Nothing to do with bullpen. It had to do with Garrett Cole. Right now, he's lined
Cole,
up to make
he's
two.
He's going to pitch against Toronto, and he's going to pitch against the Red
and
Sox.
And he's also lined up, if necessary, to pitch that final game of the year on short rest or be ready for a wild card game or a tiebreaker game on regular rest.
Yeah.
A rainout messes with all of that. And Boone ruled out pitching him on short rest and back-to-back starts, so you could lose a Garrett Cole start out of it.
You have to stop doing that. You have to stop
Why? There's a week and a half left to go.
Because that's what you did to get DeGrom on the IR.
Yeah,
that's what you
Craig,
did when Garrett got hurt the last time. Stop guessing when my guy is going to start.
Yes, but as
you're like
the
Black Widow.
As I explained, this is so near the finish line, it's okay.
We don't want to hear it from
Even
you.
Even Aaron was okay with it.
We don't want to hear it.
Well, you're going to hear it anyway.
You know, if he pitches one team, he'll pitch Friday, then he'll pitch Sunday.
Yes!
And then 162. And one
Craig, even C-Mac would agree with me. Now is the time where you can start
hey,
thinking
Craig,
about
I
that.
Charted the amount of starts, Garrett. Stop.
I didn't even
you're
need
a troublemaker.
To
you cause trouble when you chart things over there. You know you do.
Excuse me.
Yes, hi.
Garrett Cole's your guy now?
Huh?
Same guy that you said you would was last on the list of guys you want to hang out with?
Second to last on the list.
You're
Thank
right.
you.
Fine. Second to last.
Clubs. Clubs, whatever his name
Klub.
Is. Klub.
By
Klubs.
The way, very disappointing answer from Aaron.
Yeah.
I mean, he gave us nothing.
Because he thought I was going to hit him with something bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think there is something bad there, and he was covering it up. That's
who
what
knows?
I
who knows?
He was just like, yeah, it's Klub.
He's the only guy that could get fired from the Yankees and make more money. Anyway.
Right?
What do you got, CeeLo?
Powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. An update, we told you last hour about Nick Gates' situation with the Giants could be career-ending. At least that's what Joe Judge said.
I mean, he snapped his leg in half.
Right. However,
legit.
His agent, I understand, he's in his corner. He's come out to say Nick is going to make a full recovery. One of the toughest guys in the NFL. He has broken bones. There's no ligament damage. So, in other words, he'll be fine.
Now, that I will say something. Years ago, I remember Boomer telling me, we were talking to Dr. Nicholas, who's the acclaimed... You know, former Jet doctor, his dad was as well, right? That a break is far better than a break of a bone is far better for an athlete than tearing ligaments and tendons and that stuff as far as recovery and building up strength. Now, I don't know if he meant that with the type of injury that Gates suffered, so I'm speaking out of my ass a little bit on that. But if that is factual, regardless of where on the body you're talking about, then yeah, but listen, he snapped his leg in half. And smiled on the way off
I know,
the field.
His reaction.
That's my kind of guy.
And the most impressive part about him is how calm he looked. I'd be crying like
a baby.
Well,
I think that's adrenaline. I've suffered some legitimate injuries.
Yeah, and you were crying like a baby.
I was not.
Sure.
And I have a witness in the building to it. When I suffered the depressed fracture of my cheekbone, my orbital bone, and the other stuff in my eyeballs and whatnot.
What caused that to happen? I don't remember.
It was a softball injury. I took an elbow right to my cheekbone going for a fly ball.
Huh.
I thought that was when you were biking and you flipped over.
No, that's when I broke my nose and I slapped my other eye down.
That
was at the Chica Lodge in the Keys.
Slapped your other eye
down.
Dude,
I went over the front handlebars of a bike. My face... slapped and bounced off the pavement.
Are your kids klutzy like you?
What?
Are your kids klutzy like
Sonny's
you?
Sonny's a little klutzy.
Because you, I mean, between the back and the burns and what else? There was something else.
That's funny. I don't consider I cut my pinky.
Right, yeah.
Pinky
sliced your finger open.
At a charity event.
Come on, man.
And I sliced these two fingers down to the bone, putting a pour spout on top of a bottle
I think about
of whiskey.
The six injuries you've just listed in a 45-second span.
Thoracic syndrome. I've got the scar to prove it right
God.
There.
Thoracic.
Yeah, look at that. Like that scar that took my first rib out. Yeah.
No one asked to see your scar.
Look at that scar.
From way up there?
And I keloid scar.
They go in that high for the rib?
So, real quick, your clavicle and your first rib are like that. Your veins and arteries are in between them normally.
Huh.
Mine were down closer to the bottom of the V. So, like playing ball, working out, whatever it is, it starts compressing against it. So, I had a blood clot the size of a cigar in my arm.
Sounds
so, they
healthy.
Took a vein from my groin. They patched the bad vein. They cut out my first rib. And away we go.
Hey, where should we go on Craig's body to grab a vein? Let's go to the groin and we'll just pull one right out of
there. That's where your veins are closest to the surface.
That's not a spot you want to be opened up.
But what's messed up is that they told me they were taking a vein from my ankle. And I woke up and they're like, how you feeling? I go, I actually feel pretty good. I go, my chest doesn't hurt so much, but my ankle doesn't hurt. My chest doesn't hurt that much. But my balls are killing me. And they're like, they go, it's not your balls. It's your groin. We took a vein from your groin.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. And it was worse is that they catheterized me during the procedure because it's a long procedure. It's like, they sent a priest to my bed and said, this is microsurgery involving a blood clot very close to where your heart is. There's a shot you die. And the priest comes in to walk through the fact that I may not wake up. And I said, Father, with all due respect, I'm not a very religious guy, but I was raised, but I'm Jewish. He goes, no problem. I'll get you a rabbi. I go, I really don't want to talk to either one of you, to be honest. 3 hours later, the rabbi shows up. And he goes, again, this type of surgery, a percentage of people die from it. It's microsurgery on a vein near your heart, and you have a blood clot to a bed. Do you want to talk? And I go, no. the concept of dying was not in my brain.
Right.
I go, please get out. I kicked the priest and the rabbi out of the room. It was brutal. And then I woke up, and this wonderful nurse said, I go, why do my balls? She goes, it's not that. She goes, we had to catheterize you during surgery. I go, well, take it out. She goes, well, it hurts. She goes, but what hurts more is if I got to put it back in. If I take it out, you have 30 minutes to go to the bathroom. If you don't go to the bathroom within 30 minutes, I remember it's the only time in my life I've been called Sugar Honey. She said, Sugar Honey, I'm putting it back in. and she goes, I'm telling you, you don't want that without being put asleep. And I ain't putting you to sleep. So Sugar Honey, you got 30 minutes to go to the bathroom.
Did you go to the bathroom?
I kicked everybody out. I turned on the water. Didn't work. I had my wife come into the room and just go,
that didn't
next
work
to my ear. And in 29 minutes and 42 seconds, I dribbled a little bit. But that counted.
As long as it wasn't stuck back in, you're in business.
Good time. Sugar Honey, you don't want me putting that back in. Yeah. She was going to get me pregnant. What else you got?
I was waiting for the what else you got. Perfect. All right, I want to remind you about this cut from Zach Wilson. Post-game Sunday after the 4 picks against the Patriots, he was making the point that he can't lose confidence based on one bad game.
I just got to tell myself, hey, I can't be gun-shy. I got to go there. I got to sling it around. I got to still be aggressive down the field, especially when we're down. I got to take care of the balls.
All right, so you got to still sling it around. Minutes earlier, unbeknownst to Wilson, I guess, unless they might have asked him about it, Robert Saleh had said he needs to learn it's okay to play a boring brand of football sometimes.
Yep.
Flash forward to this afternoon, Wilson asked about being boring when nobody who's ever watched him play would use that word to describe his style.
I don't think it's necessarily challenging. It's just being smart with the ball.
All right, so it's a delicate balance he's got to find.
Right. I mean, with some of semantics, but we're on the same page, all of us.
Now, the reason I bring this up, and whatever you think of this guy is fine, but we all know Trent Dilfer, right? Super Bowl winning quarterback, even though that was the Ravens defense. That's fine.
Boring football, yes.
Okay, so he now breaks down quarterbacks, coaches quarterbacks. I think has some sort of youth academy. Might even be coaching a team. So Albert Breer.
Matter of fact, he got in trouble a couple weeks ago. He was coaching a team. And he took one of the kids and berated him and manhandled him.
Yeah.
And had to apologize for being a douche.
Yes. So anyway, he was on Albert Breer's show or podcast called Hurry Up. And they brought up the rookie quarterbacks. Who are you concerned about? Who are you not? Trevor Lawrence is fine. They're letting him play. He's making some mistakes. He loves Wilson's abilities. He doesn't question any of that. However, he is concerned about his ability to make this change of learning how to take care of the ball.
What I saw in the film, and I studied every play he played at BYU, is he would pass open wide open guys. Cheese. He does not like taking the cheese. The cheese is the free stuff.
So the underneath guy, the check down, the open guy.
Okay,
and
that's something he's going to learn. And you really only learn that the hard way.
Yes.
Right?
And he did also make this point. It's consistent with the pattern he saw when watching him during his time at BYU.
They had open receivers all over the place that he would pass up to do something more flashy, more sizzly.
I love
and
it.
That's what concerns me about Zach Wilson. Is that in his DNA? Can you take that out of him?
I wouldn't
want
to take
that. Who else
that.
Was like that? I was like that. And I sucked.
Oh, stop talking about yourself like that. Brett Favre was like that. You sucked. But you did win a Super Bowl.
Yes, I love you for it, buddy.
Yeah. So I'll give you that.
I mean, listen, I don't care.
I don't want to take that.
What a waste.
Yeah, I don't want to take that.
What a waste. It's 2 weeks in his NFL career. He's going to learn.
I want the kid to be who the kid is. I want that.
Well, that's why I bring it up, because you got the coach.
That's a long way to bring up that story.
No. Because
it took an hour.
Thank God you said it.
He's giving you the be more boring, but you also want the kid to be himself.
You went a long way. That was a... you took the long way to grandma's
house. Did I?
I was waiting for the
payoff. I'm
your
what is the
setup was longer than Dilfer's quote.
That's a good point. He's responsible for one of my favorite short sound bites taken out of context.
I don't care.
You can't win games in the NFL and still you can't lose games in the NFL and still win. I love that. Makes no sense.
I still don't care.
Makes
I don't
no
know
sense.
About you, Craig.
I want to go home now.
All right.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.